1 John chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Now John covers a lot of ground, has covered a lot of ground for us between his account of the life of Christ in the Gospels and his letters that he has written here to believers. God inspired him to write what would make it possible for us, if applied properly to our lives, to live life to the fullest, spiritually fulfilled with our hearts linked directly with our Savior. Now, John has addressed already for us the importance of being committed to Christ and living the life of one committed to Christ. He has taught us that it is our sin that separates us from the Father. But he has also assured us that when we sin and when we confess our sin, that Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. John's calling, I believe, was to make sure that we knew that God wants us to have a right relationship with him. He wants to have a right relationship with each one of us. And that the only thing that makes that impossible is us, if we refuse to follow his commands. If we will not turn away from sin, if we will not confess our sin, if we will not seek forgiveness and seek restoration, then we stand in the way of our relationship with the Father. And John has been dealing with matters of the heart. In the last few verses, almost all of chapter 3, as we studied it, we have been looking at matters of the heart. He has encouraged us, God has commanded us, that we look on things as God, through Christ, has looked upon us. He started chapter 3 this way: "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And what manner of love God has given to us, a love that he challenges us to imitate and duplicate, so that the world might know him through us. Now, last week we studied the importance of allowing Jesus to lead us in all things, which means first we must believe completely and exclusively in the work of Christ. Believe that his blood was shed for us, and that his blood alone can bring about salvation. Believing with faith, and in faith, is God's expectation. But he also expects that we will show what we believe as we live our lives, that we will keep his commandments, that we will dwell with him. And in keeping his commandments, John assures us of another thing: we dwell in him, and he will dwell with us. And not just the Son, but the Father and the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God that dwells in us, will speak with us and will guide us. John also knew the power of the enemies of God and their schemes. So he warns us now that we know the Spirit of God that dwells in us, and that we not just follow after everything and anybody, but that we prove them, that we try them, that we believe not every spirit. And that's what I've entitled the message today, directly from John's instruction, that we believe not every spirit. He warns us because there will be counterfeiters. There are counterfeiters who will present themselves and try to convince us that their counterfeit that they represent is true. And John explains that we are to be careful. Believers, we are to be careful. 2 points. Not every prophet comes from God, and not every spirit confesses Christ. Let me tell you what I tried real hard to work in there. Not everything with a cross represents Christ. Amen. We gotta be careful as believers, you know, and while we're not going to talk a whole lot about it in this message today, one of the things that really that I fear the most for believers of today is that we will sometimes get so caught up in the idea of worshiping together and gathering together that we will sacrifice the truth of the gospel just so that there'll be a whole bunch of people together. Amen. Praising the Lord. And how about this? Which Lord? They don't know. Because I got my Jesus, and the guy in the seat next to me has his. And you know, I got a little convicted, and we'll go on with the message, but I got a little convicted about that very thing. Some time ago, some years ago, the more birthdays I have, the harder it is to remember dates. But it was many, many years ago that I went to a Promise Keepers event. And Promise Keepers is an event whereby they take a stadium and they bring in thousands of men. And I think the one I was in, there were 60,000 men. And it was all men there for a time of worship of the Lord. And I enjoyed myself. I have to tell you that. It was great. It was great speakers, great service. But in retrospect, there was a great blending of a whole bunch of things represented under a cross, and there was no clarity about who Jesus really was, who he is. I got some conviction about that. It took a long time, but I got that conviction. But John wants us to be careful as believers. We have to be careful. You know, I'll give you one other one. There was a million-man march that churches represented all over the place. It was led by a man who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. How is that a good thing? Was it? So anyway, that's not my message, but that's kind of where we're going. But the first point I want to share with you is not every prophet comes from God. Not every prophet comes from God. Let's read again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world." Believe not every spirit. Now that is great counsel, and that's pretty simple. Believe not every spirit. Okay? Believe not every spirit. But try the spirits and determine whether they are of God. Now, how do we determine if the spirits are of God? If what they say, they speak, they promise is in keeping with the word of God, then these spirits are of God. But he says we need to not believe every spirit, but we need to try them. We need to lay them up against the word of God. Now God wants us to believe in him with our whole hearts. He wants us to come to him. He says, like little children, he wants us to come trusting and believing. That's what he tells us in Matthew 18. Look there very quickly. Matthew 18, page 718 in your pew Bibles. I want to show you that. What he expects of us, he expects of us to believe in him. That's what we just learned about as we finished up chapter number 3 of 1 John. He says, we got to believe, first of all, on the name of Jesus Christ. We got to believe in him, believe in the word. In Matthew 18, he says, and my point really starts at verse 3, but I thought we'd start reading at verse 1 anyway. It says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And I think that is a good place to start. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." So now, who is the greatest? I guess that was exactly the right place to start. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He who believes, he who has total faith in the person of Christ, in the work of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest one in heaven, the one who has the greatest faith. So God is calling upon us to be a faithful people. But at the same time, he's telling us that we need to be careful, that we know what we believe. We need to receive folks who receive Christ, but we should try all spirits. We're to come to the Lord like little children, trusting and believing. But we're to be on guard so that we are not tossed about and believing in every other thing, every new thing that is introduced to us. We must know that God and His Word, we must know that God and His Word is true. And we must know that God and His, we must know God and His Word so well that we will reject all things that are contrary to His Word. Amen. Don't believe every spirit. Don't. Amen. But try them all. Determine if that spirit, if that prophet, if that word is in line with the Word of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now get this. Many false prophets had gone out into the world before John lived. Many false prophets had gone out into the world while John lived. Many false prophets have gone out into the world since John lived. And many false prophets are out into the world now that you and I live. And we have got to be careful. God has given us His Word for our learning so that we might be able to live according to His plan, so that we might know today what we are up against and that there is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. Now, I want to show you a couple things. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 28. That's on page 578. While you're turning there, let me tell you this. God chose Isaiah as a prophet to the people. He spoke with Isaiah of what was to come. How that he would bring about judgment against his people for their sin. He told the prophet Isaiah that the people would be taken into captivity and that for 70 years they would serve the king of Babylon. And just as God said, the people were taken into captivity. And that in itself should have been reason enough for the people to believe in God completely. But they didn't. Then God used a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was God's prophet during the 70 years of captivity and for a period of time afterwards. And God continued to speak with His people. He wanted them to repent and He wanted them to prepare for restoration because He had told them He had brought them in, but He was also going to bring them out. And God had told them that they would be taken captivity. God told them by whom they would be taken into captivity. And they were taken into captivity. So here we are in captivity. Let us plan to be here for 70 years. That sounds like the logical train of thought. Here we are in captivity. We've been taken into captivity by the king of Babylon. God says we're going to be here for 70 years. Let's settle in. Let's repent of our sins. Let's ask God to restore us. And let's know that at the end of 70 years, God is going to bring us out of this place. He's going to keep His promise. He's going to set us free. But you know, that was not plan enough for the people. And someone had a prophecy that was a kind of prophecy for them. They liked it. And rather than to stick to the Word of God, they accepted this new guy's prophecy. And let me tell you the application here for us. Do you know that that's the draw? That's what the that's why I said there's nothing new under the sun. That's the draw of today. Well, that's the same thing that the serpent said to Eve. That's not what God said. Well, that's still the same philosophy. And it was the same philosophy that the people used to deceive the children of Israel who had been taken into captivity. Now, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 28. I'm going to show you a lot of this, but I think it's important for you to understand so that we can make the application to our lives today so that we will know that just because they say that they are a prophet, they're not necessarily a prophet from God. Jeremiah 28 verse 1 says, "And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest, and of all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Now this is Jeremiah giving his account that this Hananiah stood up, declared all this, to all of the leaders there. And verse 5 said, "Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said," well, amen. You know, I like that Jeremiah said, all right, that's what God told you. He says, "Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied of peace, when the word of the Lord shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him." Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. Now this guy was, this is what it's all about fanfare and hype. I want y'all to understand that all of that is not new. He had to do something big in the presence of the people to get them to believe in him. But he took the yoke that was from Jeremiah's neck and he just broke it. And Hananiah, verse 11, spake in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord." Now this tells me that Hananiah hadn't heard anything at all from the Lord, but he was about to. And I tell you what, we can take this example and understand that everybody that calls himself or herself a prophet is not a prophet of God if they speak out against the word of God. Amen. Now the people already had the word, and here's why we know that. God had already told Isaiah before they even went into captivity, "You're going. Here's how and here's how long." He says, "You go and tell him, saying, Thus saith the Lord," verse 13, "Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron." Why? Because they believed in his prophecy and not in the true word of God. He says it's going to be even harder for them than it would have been. He says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also." Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie." Now that's calling him out for exactly what he is. And you know, today, as I listen to people on the radio, I see people on the television, I hear what people are telling me, people are telling them, I want to just declare to them, just like Jeremiah declared to Hananiah, "You're making these people to trust in a lie when they have the truth available." You know, one of the great things that King James did is that he had the Bible translated into a language so that everybody could have their own copy. So that we all could read it for ourselves. So we didn't have to wait for the preacher to tell us what the Word of God said, what it meant. That we didn't have to wait for a prophet or an evangelist to come through our city so that we could hear what the Word of God had to say and how we could apply it to our lives. But we could all have our own little copy and know exactly what God said so that we wouldn't trust in a lie, but that we would trust in the truth. Well, verse 16, he says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth." Man, sometimes I wish God would do that today. Wouldn't it make life easy? He just cast them off the face of the earth. They start prophesying these lies, and you say, "Well, whatever happened to such and such? Cast him off. Gone. We never heard from him. God took him." Well, he says, "This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord." So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. And God didn't tarry. You know, it was the 5th month when they started all this talking. It was the 7th month that God took care of him. Now, but what about the people? What is our responsibility? Let's read on a little bit more. verse 1 of 29. He says, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that Zechariah the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters, and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem, by the hand of Elsa, the son of Saphan, and Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. And here's what the word of God says. Now, and what I think God is showing us here is that, you know what? What God has, what we have to endure sometimes is not always what we want to endure. And you know, when we let people tickle our ears and tell us what we want to hear so that we don't have to endure what God would have us to endure. You know, sometimes maybe difficulty comes in our lives so that we might have an opportunity to be drawn closer to God, so that we might be more compelled to pray, that we might be more compelled to call upon others to pray for us, so that we might be more compelled to dive into the Word of God and to get to know Him better and to give our hearts completely over to Him. And that's what Jeremiah is telling the people there. You were sinful people. And now you got some things that you got to work out. And God is giving you that time right now. He says, so what are you to do in the midst of going through this valley that you're going through now? What are you to do? Well, here's what he says to the people. He says, you're going to be there for a little while. Build you houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. He says, you pray while you're there. You live while you're there. You praise me while you're there. And verse 8 he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, and I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Now what is he saying? He's saying there are people who are going to be telling you that tomorrow and the next day or a year from now, he says, that you're going to be set free. But he said, don't be deceived. He says, and you might even have a dream. And the dream says, I had in my dream that the Lord was going to set us free from this. And the Lord forgave us right away. He says, don't deceive yourself. What does the word of God declare? Amen. So often I think we need to be thrust back to the word of God. And we need to keep asking ourselves that question. What does the word of God say? What does the word of God say? You know, I think that would solution so many problems for us if we would just say, well, what does the word of God say? Well, he says, they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I haven't sent them. In verse 10, he says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. Now, let me tell you something. You know, sometimes people will say this. Well, you know, God works in mysterious ways. Don't say that, okay? Because God doesn't work in mysterious ways. God reveals his way. He told them. He says, 70 years until these 70 years are accomplished. He says, after 70 years, I'm going to visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know the day, the hour. It's my plan, saith the Lord. I have thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you. And you shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. God says, use this time to get closer to me. He says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. That's what God said. And God says, you know what? Any prophet that's going to come your way that's going to try to tell you that is not my plan, he says, well, you better not believe him, because he is not of God. Now, what is today's application? Today's application is this. When we are confronted with prophecies, with the fantastic, with the desirables, the things that we want, first we need to call upon the Lord. We need to pray unto the Lord. We need to know that he will hear us. We need to seek him as he called upon the children of Israel. And we need to know that we will find him when we search for him with all our hearts. But we are not to believe every spirit. But we are not to believe every spirit, not every prophet, not every prophecy, because they don't all come from God. God knows. Now, God will deal with those who seek to lead his people away, just like he did Hananiah. But each of us has a personal responsibility to follow God's commands exclusively. I have a responsibility to not believe all spirits. You have a responsibility not to believe all spirits, but to try them and to follow after God. Now, I want to show you, we read a little bit of Matthew 18. Let's go back there very quickly. Matthew 18, page 718 in your Bibles. Not every prophet comes from God, so we need to be careful and not believe every spirit. In Matthew 18, skip down to verse number 6. We read verses 1 through 5 already. Just to kind of refresh your memory, in 1 through 5, the question was asked, who will be the greatest in heaven? And Jesus said the greatest one will be the one who has the greatest faith, the one who believes in the person of God, the person of Christ, who believes in the Holy Spirit, has complete faith. And he goes on to say in Matthew 18, verse number 6, he says, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Yeah, there are going to be false prophets out there. God tells us there's going to be Antichrist, the opposition to God. But woe to them. Verse 8, he says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, then cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet, to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hell fire. You know, and I think there are so many applications there. But this, I believe, is true. That God is saying to us that we are not to believe every spirit, not every prophet, whether it be our brother, our sister, our husband, our wives, our best of friends, our co-workers. We can't believe them all. Not if they're contrary to the word of God. And if we find them to be contrary to the word of God, then pluck them out, get rid of them. Because it's better to go into heaven. It's better to get into God's glory. Even if it means that the sacrifice of some of those that we love, if they refuse to believe in the work and in the person of Christ. Believe not every spirit, because there are false prophets that are going out into the world. Not every prophet comes from God. Now, not every spirit confesses Christ. Not every spirit confesses Christ. Go back to 1 John 4, verse 2 this time. He says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. So now here's a question. How will we know the Spirit of God? How will we know the Spirit of God? Well, John answers the question here. He quotes Jesus' answer to the same question in John chapter 16. Now, first of all, here's John's answer. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. That's pretty easy, isn't it? There's when he says, believe not every spirit, but try every spirit, he says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And all the rest of them, we need to say, well, we know that you're not of God. Now, let me show you how Jesus answered the same question in John chapter 16, page 795 in your pew Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 16, let me show you how Jesus answered the same question. Skip down to verse 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you. This is Christ speaking. But ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. He shall glorify me. Now, hold your finger there and flip over to John chapter 17. I want to show you that, and we'll come back there. John 17, one page over, maybe on the same page. John 17. Verse number one. So here's Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit is going to show us the things to come, and the Holy Spirit is going to glorify him. Now, in John chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus is about to pray. He says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now, we're seeing the work of the Trinity here. He says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So now, the Son glorifieth the Father. Now go back to John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit glorifieth the Son. Verse 14, he says, he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, if you get excited about the Word of God, here's something that ought to excite you. Because when we think about what the Holy Spirit does for us here, this is a great, great explanation. He says here the Holy Spirit is our intercessor. In other words, we speak, we pray, the Holy Spirit hears us. And the Holy Spirit takes what he hears and he speaks it into the ears of the Father. And guess what? The Father speaks to the Holy Spirit. And then when we're still and when we're quiet and when we're praying and when we're reading the Word of God, the Bible says the Holy Spirit speaks to us. That's a great working of the Trinity of God right there. He hears. He says he what he hears, he speaks and he shows to us. And what we hear, we know that we're hearing from the very heart of God. Verse 15 says, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me because I go to the Father. So what is Jesus telling us here? He says, how do we know the Spirit of God? Because every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to us. It's going to clarify us, the Word of God. So if we are validating all things by the Word of God, then we ought to be saying, God, today a new spirit was introduced to me. And here's what he said. God, will you show me? Is that of you? And I believe God will take you to his Word and say, what did I say already? You know, so many times, that's where I found the answer in the Word of God. What did I say already? Okay, God, that's what you said. He revealed to us the truth. So how will we know which spirit to believe? Because every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That's the one I'm going to believe. That he has come, that he is of God, that he is God. Now let me show you one. I'm getting close to being done here. Look in Luke chapter 2, page 751. So how do we know which spirit to believe? Well, there was a man by the name of Simeon and a prophetess by the name of Anna, both who were seeking after the Lord, and both who were asking, I believe, how do I know which spirit it is that I can believe? And in Luke chapter 2, where we are also given the great account of the birth of our Savior, in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, here's what the Bible says in describing for us this man Simeon. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, I want you to understand one thing about Simeon. This is very true of what God said to the children of Israel back in Jeremiah. He says, you're in the midst of captivity. What do I want you to be doing? I want you to be seeking me with your whole heart. I want you to be praying. I want you to be calling out to me. Well, here was a man, Simeon. The Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was just, he was devout. He was praying. He was asking God, show me. The Bible says the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26 says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. What was the Holy Ghost doing? He was praying. He was talking to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost talking to him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou my servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived 107 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. What was she doing? She was doing the same thing that Jeremiah said to the people. Pray, seek after God. He'll show you. He'll show you which spirit to believe. Verse 38 says, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. How did Simeon qualify as one who was a spirit of God? He confessed that Jesus Christ has come, that he had come in the flesh, that God had sent a Savior. He confessed also, even before it happened, that Jesus would suffer and that he would die for many. He confessed even before it happened that Jesus Christ would be the cause that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed, that forgiveness and restoration would be possible through that little baby Christ. How do you know which spirit to believe? The spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come. That's the one. Believe that spirit, for they confess Jesus, that he is God, sent down from heaven for us by God the Father. But the spirit of unbelief is also alive and well. The spirit of unbelief is also alive and well. And as believers, we must beware. And we must be aware of what God teaches in his word. The spirit of unbelief is that spirit of Antichrist. That's what we See in 1 John 4, look in your bulletin there in verse 3. He says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Not the Antichrist, but that spirit of unbelief, that opposition. He says, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. It's alive and well. The spirit of unbelief. He says, now there are a lot of different gifts. There are a lot of different spiritual gifts that are extended to us by God. And just because God has given us many different gifts, it certainly does not mean that God has given to us many different spirits or different degree of spirits. But there he is but one spirit, the spirit of God. And it is that spirit that unites believers together. Now, we know that there are unbelievers out there. We know that they are working to tear down what God seeks to build up. But God wants us to know him, not the counterfeit, but to know the real thing. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm nearly done. Page 848. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, and there's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Beginning at verse number 1. He says, so that we might understand that there are going to be different roles within the body of believers, but we should not get to believing that there's more one spirit, that there's less of another spirit, that there are different spirits, there's a different God, that it's all one spirit. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as ye were led. He says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. He says, how do you know what spirit to believe? There it is again. He says, I need you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. But any man speaking by the Spirit of God is calling Jesus the Savior of the world, the Son of God, sent down from heaven. He says, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now these are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. He says, it all comes together so that the whole world might know who this man, Jesus Christ, he really is. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, John says, we got to make sure that we don't believe every spirit. But what spirit are we to believe? We're to believe the spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Because that spirit is of God. There are many out there. There are many out there. But they're contradictory to the ways and to the will of God. And I want you to know that God's going to deal with them. But we need to stay with God. God's going to deal with them. Didn't God know about Hananiah? He did. And God knows about those on the TV. He knows about those on the radio. He knows about those who are hooping and hollering and getting people to believe a lie when the truth is right there in front of them. God knows. And he's going to deal with them. But he says, we need to deal with the truth. We don't need to focus on what they're doing wrong. We need to focus on how we can do right. How we can know him. How we can know him. Believe not every spirit. Believe the word of God. And God's going to take care of the rest. Let's close out in Matthew chapter 10. Page 7:11. God's going to take care of the rest. In Matthew chapter 10, just a few verses, beginning at verse number 32. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse number 32. It is our responsibility to know what we believe, in whom we believe, and to believe that He is able to do that which we've committed. We need to stay with Him. And in Matthew 10, beginning at verse number 32, He says this: "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." That's it. "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." God's going to take care of him. He's going to take care of the believer, and He's going to take care of the unbeliever. He says, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Why? Because one will be of belief and another of unbelief. He said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." What is his expectation? That we will confess him. That we will believe him. We will believe in him before all men. And he says, our reward for that is that he will confess us also before the Father. It's him. It's him. It's a person of Christ. In every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come into the world in the flesh is of God. That's the spirit in which we must believe. Let's pray. Father, give us the wisdom to believe in you and in the work that you've done. Give us the wisdom to be able to see through that which is false, and to cling to the truth of your word, I pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to try all things, compare it to the word of God, and know the word of God to be true. And know the word of God to be true. And to know the word of God to be true, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.